The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. We managed to go through a full hour of the show without talking about the 89th Masters. Part of that, and we will, by the way, here coming up momentarily. Kelly's got thoughts. I might even have Dave Tindall's on the heels of the of my college basketball formula. We always throw out our buddy Dave Tindall. Dave Tindall's from England. He has a Masters formula. And so we'll actually, Dave's not going to be with us, but we'll actually, I started the Beating the Book Masters pod with this just to make you and Matt angry. But we'll bring it out here on the show just to see
what why did it make
because
us
it's not the way you guys handicap golf. So it's just, you know, it's fun to go.
No, I think it's always interesting to look at. Yeah. We talked about it yesterday. I mean, I look at it every single year.
Let's put it this way. He had a tie at the top and one of the two people tied is, to me, was very surprising. It was like, what, a 55-1 shot to win it? So we'll get into that here momentarily. Real quick, because we just talked about with Will, it's tough to ask for people for college basketball thoughts of futures next year. But just to be thorough, Drew Densick's Duke Blue Devils are your short shot, 10-1. Houston's at 12-1. UConn, 14-1, as they would try to win their third championship in four seasons. BYU at 16-1. Purdue, 18-1. Arkansas, 20-1. And then you see defending champion Florida down at 25-1. Michael Montesano texted in, our buddy. And any guesses, Kelly, as to which way he would say to go?
BYU.
No. Good guess, though. I would have guessed BYU.
Yeah, I'm like, at some point, are we just going to have the NIL rankings? Like, how much money do you have available?
That's exactly right. He says the play to make, if any, is Michigan at 25-1. Great coach, and so far, amazing transfers coming in. Hard to predict if we can get a better price in season. That's from Michael Montesano. Take that for what it is worth. Let's talk some pro basketball and beyond. We'll get a tennis pick in here, too, real quick with our buddy Drew Densick, the co-host of Not One But Two podcast, The Deep Dive with Andy Molitor, who we tried to get on to talk Masters this week, but he was too busy. Is that what happened with Andy?
Tomorrow during our time, I believe he was busy.
Okay, yes. Tomorrow during our time. And, of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge. Now he does Bet the Edge dailies. It's Drew Densick, everybody, at @whale_capper. How you doing, Drew?
I'm doing great, man. It's great talking to you guys, and love that you referenced the tennis going on in Europe right now. My head is very much in Europe, Gil. I'm wired. I've been up since like 1 a.m. You want to know why?
Please.
Winter Olympic tickets went on sale this morning, 1 a.m. Pacific time. I got my tickets in the books. We're gonna go see some Winter Olympic games. I got the hottest ticket of the entire event, which is the women's alpine skiing team combined. If you didn't already know, I'm sure you guys know, but some of the listeners may not. The women's combined alpine is you have two women from the same country. One does the downhill and the other does the slalom. And then they combine their performances, and the fastest two women to compete those events win the gold medal for their country. The defending champions from the World Cup are, of course, the United States. Breezy Johnson and Michaela Schifrin took home gold at the World Championships this year. And I'll be there in Cortina to see them try to defend their title and win Olympic gold for the first time they compete in this event. So very fired up for that.
We should all be Drew Densick in our next lives. Well, it's amazing. Going to Italy for the Winter Olympics in Milano. And as Drew just says, in Cortina d'Ampezzo, which is where he's going to see the alpine skiing.
My favorite event is the one where they cross-country ski and then also shoot things.
That's the biathlon.
Yes. It's very, it feels very modern. Feels very.
It's about heart rate.
It's about heart rate?
It's about heart rate, bringing your heart rate down and being able to,
Okay.
As John Stewart.
I think it's a nod to World War One.
As John Stewart famously.
A nod to World War One, the Great War.
A nod to it. John Stewart famously said, the Winter Olympics, less a sporting competition than drunken dares.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. I'll tell you, one of my best gambling stories of 2024 was me being down in the Keys and needing to burn a Hard Rock bonus and calling up Drew and be like, give me an Olympics bet. No, I don't have this for a top three marathon runner. I just got it to win, and he won.
Are we at the point where
Cole Hawker.
There are no Winter Olympic bets to be made this far out, right? When do those start populating?
Realistically, like January.
Okay.
Right. But you know, if you start handicapping in January, I got news, you're behind. So yeah, I think, you need to start chewing some of the tape now. Not just going to see, alpine skiing, by the way, the other, two events that they're contesting in Cortina that I have tickets to, the luge, which will be weird and interesting, and actually may not even be in Cortina. They may cancel those tickets because, the Italians a little behind, building their state of the art sliding center, and the Olympic Committee is mad at them. If they don't get their test event in this winter, they're going to take the luge from Milan and they're going to contest it in Lake Placid. And I will not be going to Lake Placid.
That's
Drew. I'm sure Lake Placid is lovely, but I'm sure gonna be in Italy and ski in the Dolomites. So it's not happening if they move the luge to Lake Placid. And then the other key event that they're contesting in Cortina is curling. So I'll bend the ear of the great Ken Pomeroy, who of course is sort of he's the ubermensch of curling fairs. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that about Ken Pomeroy.
Ken Pom, it's incredible. Ken Pom is the go-to guy for curling fairs.
Wow. Ken Palm, weatherman, right? Meteorologist, college basketball guru, curling expert, all of those things.
Curling enthusiast.
Drew could talk Winter Olympics for the rest of the hour, but I'm not going to let him. Let's go to Monte Carlo. Speaking of Europe, I'm diving into clay. I'm not putting him out yet. I had Baez this morning. He lost. Berrettini now is serving for the match. So hopefully I split a couple dogs. Mm-hmm. There is a match left to go here. You do have a play on this one, which is?
Yes. So the number two for me right now in men's tennis is Jack Draper. He's taking on Marcus Giron. I know he's, I make the French pronunciation, and he's American. These two actually are pretty competitive in terms of how their styles match up. We have two head-to-heads between Giron and Draper, and Giron took sets. He took two sets and a best of five. He took one set and a best of three in their previous head-to-head. So I think this is going to be pretty competitive. Draper, ultimately, I would expect rounds into form later in the clay cycle, as his performances on Indian Wells kind of suggest he should be better on clay this year than he was in years past, where he was a little meh. But Monte Carlo is a really tough adjustment just to be dropped in terms of the court speed. And if you're not, familiar with, the clay there, then it can be tough to adjust to. And I thought Giron yesterday was incredible. He just absolutely dispatched Chapeau. Chapeau, of course, was maybe more responsible for that than Giron was. Chapeau was totally lost. I like the fact that he has a little bit of, Giron has some reps. Draper's coming in cold. Draper only has three matches on this surface in his career, two losses to Hubert Hurkacz and a defeat of Sebastian Baez. So, not afraid to go up against Draper here. Now, I don't think Giron's going to win, but I took plus four games for the American at minus 109.
There you go. Alan Boston still waiting for that Chapeau thing to happen, Drew. That's what we all always think about when Shapovalov comes up.
He had some moments this year.
He did. This was his best. This was the time. Remember, there was that quarter that he got to in Wimbledon against Djokovic, and he played really well. Yeah. That was his other sort of career peak. And then this last year, it looked like maybe this is his time, but maybe not, as they also say, to complete the sentence. All right. First of all, Drew has hypothetical NBA playoff matchup lines that he has made. Mm-hmm. Before we get to that, I just want to say sorry about your Duke Blue Devils. I hope that didn't go. I hope that didn't make you too sad the other day in the Final Four. You okay? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, okay. It was tough. It was a tough loss. I watched it live with my wife, who is a Duke alum as well. We were toasting the victory at 14 points up with, I'm doing the math in my head. I'm looking at the live money line. I'm like, man, this is 95% home. Like, hell yeah, here we go. Still, the game finished, and I was like, how did that happen?
How did that happen?
I woke up the next morning, and I was like, did I dream that? But that was as shocking a collapse as I've ever seen in the sport of college basketball. Reminded me of other kind of moments where I can't believe that happened to Duke. Maybe most kind of clearly, the 99 title game that they lost to UConn was like, how, like that was a super team. How did they lose that game? And yeah, similarly, I felt like we were the best team in college basketball. I can't believe we didn't get to compete for the championship. But as you noted, we got the Boozers coming next year. Of course, that is a makes me feel very old moment, by the
yes.
way.
Yes. Because,
class of 2003. Carlos Boozer and Mr. Drew Dinsick at Duke University. Yeah. So we were freshmen there together in 1999, and now his kids are going to be freshmen.
Do you remember the first player, wow. Kelly, that you saw in any sport where you were like, oh my God, I saw his dad play? For me, it was Craig James, who was part of the Dicker James mm-hmm. backfield at SMU with Eric Dickerson. When his kid was a wide receiver at Texas Tech, I remember being like, oh my God. Like, it's a moment in your life where you're like, I saw his dad play.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't remember who the first one was, but there's been a bunch.
It gets you.
Yeah.
All right. So, with the playoffs, and I just want to sort of tease this going into the next segment. So you have done what now? The exercise here, Drew, is you have come up with, but now that we're almost at the end of the NBA season, you're coming up with potential series lines for all of these.
Yeah. So basically the exercise is, come up with estimated minute projections that are playoff, you know, how are the Lakers going to distribute their playoff minutes? This is a fun exercise, right? Mm-hmm. Like, do we see, you know, do we see mostly Dorian Finney-Smith out there in the clutch, or is it going to be Jared Vanderbilt, or is it going to be Jackson Hayes, or is it going to be some combination of those guys, right? And like, that absolutely matters as far as coming up with our fares, because if you just take sort of minute projections from the regular season, they're not very useful. So every team that matters, I have kind of gone through the process of estimating what their minutes projections are going to be like, so we can come up with game fares and series fares.
That's next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Summer Special is here, and it's the best deal of the season. For just $59. Get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through August 1st. That's 50% off the regular monthly price. From Augusta to the NFL Draft, MLB action, the NBA and NHL playoffs, and the Kentucky Derby, VSiN Pro has you covered all summer long. Sign up now, get expert picks, including all our best bets for the Masters, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our Kentucky Derby betting guide and the NFL betting guide when it drops this summer, giving you a head start on football season. Every sport, every edge, one price. Get full access now through August 1st for just $59 at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Drew Dinsick, kind enough to hang with us for another segment. We want to get to those NBA projected seedings and series prices and all that stuff. Real quick, NFL draft bets, Drew, any? Beyond what you talked about.
Yeah. Still waiting for a market, man. Okay. Bookmaker hung 6 markets for 5 minutes last week.
5 minutes. Yeah.
I don't understand what's going on. My guess is this time next week we'll have something to chew on, because I remember this from last year. Like, they wait until after the Masters is over, and then they have somebody kind of give it full attention, put up some over-unders and get serious with their offerings. So I think this time next Tuesday there'll be something to chew on. Right now I think the liquidity is still just amazingly low. Probably the lowest it's been since I've been doing this to this point in the C cycle.
Okay, to the NBA. We're going to start with projected seedings first. And there's like 4 games left for some of these teams. And like, let's just take the Warriors. The Warriors with 4 games left could still finish anywhere between 3rd and 8th. Like, that's mm-hmm. how still up for grabs this is. But you have projected seedings, then we can riff from there. Where would you like to start?
Well, the East is easy. So let's knock those out. Right now I have Knicks locked into the 3, Pacers locked into the 4. Over 80% chance that the Bucks get the 5. So Pacers, Bucks in the 4-5 with the Pacers home court is high likelihood. Detroit by default then is 80% to be the 6 seed. So Knicks, Pistons is going to be your 3-6 with the Knicks having home court. As you can look at the market today, Orlando is 4.5-point favorites over the Hawks. So the 7-8 is pretty solidly decided as far as I can tell you, with Orlando as the 7 and the Hawks as the 8. Now, I will caveat that with the The Magic and the Hawks are going to play each other three times between now and the start of the playoffs, guys. I can't, like the mini playoff series that no one wanted. the Magic and the Hawks.
No one's clamored for you, this.
Yeah. Super high leverage games today, Sunday, and again in the 7-8.
It's you know, fantastic. These next two games
will. The next two games will decide where the third one will be played. But I'm assuming it's going to be in Orlando and that they're going to be in the ballpark of 4.5 point favorites. So let's put the Magic in as the 7 facing the Boston Celtics in the 2-7. And then I think the Hawks realistically hold off Heat or Bulls for the 8. So it's going to be Cleveland, Atlanta. And I would say that East, like compared to the West, which is like, awesomely chaotic. You, as you said, like the Warriors could land anywhere. The Clippers could land anywhere. The Nuggets could miss the playoffs. Like all of these things are in the mix for reality, you know, actually could happen, which is so fun. But the East to me looks like fairly set in stone. So that's a fun kind of dichotomy between the two conferences.
Okay. And you have now, do you have projected what you've projected as series prices for these?
Yeah, sure. So Knicks Pistons is a fun one in the 3-6. Right now, my series fare for that would be Knicks minus 510. I would have the Knicks as 6 point favorites at home. I would have the Knicks as 1.5 point favorites on the road. I think the market is going to be a little bit too warm on the Pistons, and it's going to be missing what is really happening right now with the Knicks, which is they are getting scary good at the right time. The time that Brunson missed, I thought it brought out something that I have not seen yet from OG Anunoby in terms of quality of performance. He's always been a defensive, just a mastermind and a huge part of the philosophy of Tom Thibodeau team. Karl Anthony Towns has emerged as in his offensive role for the Knicks this year. And now with Brunson getting back into form, assuming he does get back into form, my most likely outcome for that series is Knicks 4-1. I have happening 27-28% of the time. So I think that throws any cold water on the Pistons being a little bit of a spunky underdog in the playoffs for me.
I bet you end up on the Knicks though, Drew, right? I think that price is going to be a little lighter than that.
Yeah. Yeah. The Knicks are, there's a Knicks tax, but market's probably going to be in the 400 range. I think the Knicks minus 2.5 is probably going to be the bet. Right. Like my fare for the Knicks minus 2.5 is going to be like plus 120. And I bet you the market's going to give us something in the plus 180 range. So that's probably how I'll play that.
OK, so 3-6 between the Knicks and the Pistons. You have the Knicks at minus 510. Gentlemen sweep 27-28% of the time. You could just riff through all these if you want to. 4-5 Indianapolis and Indiana and Milwaukee.
Yes. This one's tricky, largely because I'm assuming Dame does not play.
Okay.
I mean that this is the deep vein thrombosis is a bit of a mystery. And ultimately if he does play, that completely bends the series and the series price here. For me, the Pacers are going to be 2 point favorites at home. The Bucks are going to be 2 point favorites on the road. And my series price is basically even money.
Coin flip. Yep. Okay.
My guess is that there's going to be kind of market support for the Pacers here. I think the general expectation is that, the Pacers probably going to be, I'm guessing minus 160, maybe minus 200. So I'm probably going to be on the Bucks in that series, which doesn't feel great. I will say that a lot of kind of the key parts of the way that I build out a series price isn't just what's my fare for home and away, but it also is kind of capturing the arc of how a series goes from start to end. So we're taking into account possessions reduce, the concentrated scoring on your primary ball handlers becomes more important, which is why even though Indiana has home court, I still have a close to an even price for that series fare.
Is it even worth going through Cleveland, Atlanta, or Boston, Orlando, or should we move on to the West?
No, those are going to be monsters.
Yeah,
although Boston in game one against the Magic. Yeah. That price is going to be out of control. I'm going to probably be on the Magic in that one.
I mean, the Magic have given them problems. I don't think they're winning a series against Boston, but
But they could cover four games in a sweep. Yeah.
All right, let's go to the West. Which would be a matchup? Let's do it this way. Which is a matchup you have projected where you're like, I think I'm going to be the furthest from the market price?
Okay, so right now projecting the 1 and 2 are locked in. Lakers, I have 80% chance to be your 3 seed. My 4 seed right now is the Golden State Warriors. My 5 seed right now is the Minnesota Timberwolves. My 6 seed right now is the Denver Nuggets. 7th, Clippers. 8th, Grizzlies. One that I'm going to be the furthest off market is Houston versus the Clippers. People are weirdly buzzy about Houston. I know they're playing great right now, but you know who's playing better right now? It is the Los Angeles Clippers. Houston's offense is a massive problem for a matchup against the Clippers, in my opinion. The Clippers' defense is very real, and there really is no first option for Houston offensively in that series. I wouldn't be shocked if they can't get to 100 points in any game against the Clippers, if we're being honest. I'm going to have the Clippers as a reasonable favorite against the Rockets in that matchup. The only matchup for the Rockets that is beneficial as far as pricing goes is if they draw Memphis in the 2-7. Otherwise, they're going to be round one dogs for me.
Wow.
I agree with that completely. I mean, if it is Clippers, Rockets, I will be all over that Clippers.
So nothing about the Rockets win over OKC or Golden State this past week sways you in any way? No. Yeah. Okay.
Not at all.
The Grizzlies would be an interesting matchup with them, but I don't expect much from either of those teams long term.
The Rockets are the perfect like one game foil. When you sit down and you put together a defensive plan, you have a week to do it, and you're going to play them 7 times in a series, they are drawing dead offensively. I will be, if they ultimately make a surprise run, that would be the most shocking thing that would happen in the Western Conference for me this year.
I know you guys are incredulous that I even follow up with that question, but it needs to be asked.
Like, no, yeah, it does.
Because they're sitting
there,
right? They're at number 2, and they're locked in at this point, and so it's interesting. Okay. Give us the Lakers Denver projection.
Sure. The Lakers fans are gonna love this one, I think. I'm at Lakers -280.
Whoa.
Pretty bullish Lakers against the Nuggets right now.
Wow.
Now you wanna know why that is?
Please.
Is Jamal Murray gonna play?
Yeah.
That lingering question right now is being completely ignored by For Future Prices. And Mike Malone saying we hope he's available for the playoffs, being kind of himself in a round one playoff series, don't bet on it.
Drew, can you hang for 2 minutes after the break? I want to get the other 2 prices.
Of course.
Drew Dinsick, a little bonus NBA. These are interesting. Will these be the pairings? We don't know yet in the West, but if they are, these are fascinating. Coming back with Drew, Numbers Game VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Edge Boost, the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums, earn cash back rewards. 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG.
ANG is an A numbers game.
Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Travis Nelson, thanks, Gil, for the prop of all 1 seeds in the Final Four from the Megapod. 16-1 cashed. Primetime Cowboys _Cubs1. Yo. Hey, man, as a Cubs fan, my stomach turned when I heard base winner mention Brant Brown dropping a fly ball against the Brewers with 2 outs in the 9th to turn a 7-6 win into an 8-7 loss. Makes me still want to puke, but my therapist thinks I'm making progress. Okay. Jesse Welch. All right, now that we've got that random college basketball game out of the way, how about them homeless A's? Yeah, man. Again, over first 5 and full today for me on that. Chatty and Maddie is he's talking about how he thought the refs calling a total of 4 fouls in the first half. So that both teams, let's see why, so that both teams could be in the bonus by the 12-minute mark of the second half without having key starters on both teams in foul trouble. Oh, he's got a theory going. He says, check out the timestamp. Seems obvious that elongating the TV audience played a role in these type of massive audience games. Nailed it right on the head. He's saying he's got a theory. That's why that fouls went the way they did.
I caught JVT on By the Books this morning. I was laughing when he said, I guess they were talking about it last night, about how everybody went to the locker rooms, including the refs, and gave themselves a pep talk.
Gave themselves a pep talk. Halftime. Come on, we got to call some stuff. Dan Groeschel is back saying, Drew is a better person than me. If I bought tickets to the Olympics in Italy, I'd be too preoccupied eating my weight in pasta to make it to watch skiing. By the way, if you spend tons of time in Italy and you eat pasta every day, chances are you're not going to gain weight. It's not like American pasta and you're always walking. It's an amazing thing. Like, I didn't gain any weight and I ate pasta every day. Jack Hannon, like Samson, but that final play was very disappointing. No problem with going for three, but was expecting a Jay Wright Villanova type play at the end. Norman Vegas, great for Drew going to the Winter Olympics. We went 1988 in Calgary for a week. Best sporting events experience are International Olympics Games, Formula One, and World Cup. They've all been incredible. And then C. Spackler asking, where are Drew's fish? Oh.
Wow.
Oh, Drew, I guess we have to segue with that.
How inappropriate. Who would ever bring that up?
Where are your fish?
They're sleeping with the fishes, Gil.
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, I made a critical rookie mistake. I got a tank without a lid. And I got cichlids because cichlids are fun. They're active. They chase each other. They're territorial, but they grow fast and they fight for territory and they chase each other out of the tank. Mm. And one by one, they all jumped out of the tank because I didn't have a tank with a lid. So going to get back into the fish game at some point, but I think we're going to go with a calmer schooling fish maybe. Penguin tetra, okay. Something like that, but less likely to likely to be jumpers.
Okay, well, we wish you the best when you get back into the quote unquote fish game. Real quick before you go, give us a Warriors Timberwolves 4-5 potentials series price that you came up with.
Yeah, that one's fun because it flips pretty aggressively depending on who gets the 4 and the 5. There are some public projections out there that have Minnesota getting the 4. I personally think Golden State's going to get the 4. But if Golden State has home court in that one, I have them at -180. If Minnesota has home court, I have that one at Golden State -110. So a pretty decent flip there. And I would say that I kind of agree with what Kelly was saying off the top or at the end of the last segment. Pretty much irrespective of where it's played, my numbers are going to probably disagree with the market in favor of Minnesota. So even though I think Golden State is a very dangerous team and, as a Thunder supporter, the team that I'm not really interested in seeing in the second round of the playoffs, particularly because Jimmy Butler still gives me nightmares, it is pretty likely I'm going to be betting against them in round one with Minnesota based on the market enthusiasm for the Warriors right now.
Man.
Yeah, that was more my point, Drew. We're just going to be rooting for the Wolves because of our Thunder tickets. Because, yeah, I think...
Oh, okay. I thought you were kind of implying there's a surcharge market-wide on the Warriors and the Lakers right now. And I kind of agree with the Lakers, but the Warriors one is going to be tough to square with the Minnesota prices. Because Minnesota's a... They're being overlooked, I think, a little bit as a pretty dangerous out.
Okay. I noted your Lakers -280 versus Denver, though, is eye-opening for sure. And OKC Memphis, we don't need to talk about either, right?
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing that we didn't talk about, which I don't know that anybody's digested, the Nuggets could miss. Like, there's a very real world where, they are in the 8-9 play in and for whatever reason they're just out of gas and that bench is so weak. It's tough to make a super positive case for the likes of the Kings or the Mavericks or whoever's going to be in that spot, but seeing one of them take down a limping Nuggets team would be wild if that's the way that breaks. But relative to market price, the Nuggets are a bet against, the Timberwolves are a bet on. Short of their opponents getting injured at key stages in the 2-7 and the 2-3, the Rockets kind of getting to the Western Conference Finals would be the outcome that would surprise me the most the Western Conference.
Anything NBA tonight let you go on this?
I laid the Warriors 8.5 and I laid the Magic 4.5.
Okay. Warriors 8.5 taking on the Suns. and the Magic. Was that what you just said? The Magic.
Yeah, the first of their
Hawks. Over the Hawks. Yeah.
The first of their pre-playoff playoff series. Drew, thank you. Appreciate the extra time, man.
All right. Hey, best luck, guys.
You too. Drew Dinsick at @whale_capper, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Again, Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast. Masters, 89th Masters. Can we do the Dave Tindall formula?
Yeah, let's do that.
Dave Tindall, who will not be able to join us this year on the show, but I started the, again, the Beating the Book Masters Megapod is out there, and I start the podcast with this.
That's a good call, because I'll have all my bets finally settled tomorrow. We got long shots today. We're still waiting for books here in Vegas to post stuff.
So just like I have a tried and true college basketball formula, Dave has a Masters formula for those who are into this kind of thing. Again, the Masters, which begins in less than 48 hours with Scottie Scheffler as your short shot to win it at 4-1, and Rory trying to complete the career slam at +650. Everybody else is 13-1 or longer. Rom 13-1. Scheffler trying to win his third in four tries. Only Jack Nicklaus has done that before in the early to mid 60s. So Dave Tindall, our buddy at Dave Tindall Golf.
I'm so pumped.
He has 10 categories. Remember, I had six for college basketball. So it's 10 categories for the Masters formula, and he assigns points to all of this. We won't get into the points, but his 10 categories are age. It's good for the 20-somethings, right? Scheffler, 7th 20-something in the last decade of triumph last year. World ranking, the higher the better. Last 10 winners ranked in the world's top 30 at Data Golf. More specifically, 8 of those in the top 20.
Which I believe he has changed a little bit this year, the past couple of years, because he is grabbing him from Data Golf.
He finally discovered Data Golf.
Right, not the true world golf rankings, so because that hurts LIV. LIV players.
Master trend number 3, appearances. Augusta experience valuable. 8 of the last 10 winners played in the last 3 Masters, and at least 3 Masters. Mm-hmm. Master's trend number 4, best Masters finish. Top 5 desirable. 7 of the last 10 champs had posted a previous top 5. Master's trend number 5, the game for Augusta. Evidence of all-around prowess. And so, like, on driving distance, driving accuracy, greens and regs, scrambling, putting average, ball striking, basically 8 or 7 of the last 10 had previously recorded top 20s in all those categories. Masters trend number 5, defending champion, back-to-back wins are rare, so that's not a good sign for a Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler won last year? Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, trying to win his 3rd and 4th. Masters trend number 7, recent form, strong current play, a good pointer. 7 had a top 12 in a stroke play event in the same month of the Masters or the previous month. Masters trend number 8, winning form, confidence counts. 7 of the last 10 Masters winners had already banked a win earlier in the season. 2nd to last one, Masters trend number 9, recent major form, setting up a base camp. 9 of the last 10 Masters winners had posted a top 6 in a major in one of the previous 2 seasons. And finally, Masters trend number 10, last year's finish. Hunger a motivator, he says. 7 of the last 10 Masters winners hadn't cracked the top 10 the year before. So he rates these on a point system. 73 points was the most, and it's a tie for the 2nd straight year. At 62 points was Sepp Straka. 63 points, Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. 64, Tommy Fleetwood and Ludvig Åberg. Coming 6 points shy of the leaders, Victor Hovland and Minwoo Lee. At 67, 68 points, counting upwards, John Rahm, Hideki Matsuyama, and Shane Lowry. We've heard a lot of Shane Lowry this week. In 3rd place, 4 points back, Colin Morikawa. And in the top spot tied, Rory McIlroy and a 55-1 shot, the American Russell Henley. Does that shock you, Mr. Golf Expert?
No, not necessarily. I think Tindall's, you know, kind of formula is pretty good. There's obviously some things that I like a little bit more than others. Some mm-hmm. Henley's a good player right now. I mean, I do think he didn't rate out as highly for me because of how much importance I'm putting in off the tee. And he's not exactly a big bomber or anything like that. But Henley's a great golfer in the world right now.
All right, more Masters thoughts on the other side. We'll recap all of our bets across all kinds of sports next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game live at Visa, live at Circa Resort Casino here at Visa. Kelly and I, we have the voice of God in our ear. Brian Ortega told me I was right about something, so I know I'm right about something.
As Rob Moreno would say, and there's your daily moment of Brian Ortega.
All right, we got lots of picks to recap. Courtesy of GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Tons of picks here. We'll start with mine. Some that I've talked about, some that I haven't, actually. So, again, once again, I am on the over in Sactown. From L.A. to Sactown, the Bay Area, and back down. We have talked about this many times. A lot of people have theories about, you know, why this is happening in Sacramento. Mine is about the foul ground, though, that does not exist now, right? It was in Oakland, tons of foul ground. And when you have a roster construction tailored to that ballpark, specifically having fly ball pitchers, and then you move to a ballpark 14,000 with no foul ground, you are going to not process this necessarily, but those balls that used to be outs now are in play, and it gives the batters more and more chances. So, yes, we hit it again yesterday. We're going to do it again today. And it's not just the full game over between the Padres and the A's at over 8.5, but also the first five at over 4.5. Because remember, this is mainly about starting pitchers. And you will see, if you see the scoring in Sacramento, that it does kind of taper off, right, as we go from fly ball starters to bullpen parts that are not necessarily fly ball pitchers. So today, again, we have a battle of fly ball pitchers. And so we play the over. And once again today, this one is going to be Springs going for Oakland, and it's Dylan Cease going for the Padres. So we fire again on the over in Sacramento. I did add a Masters play, Kelly. Sepp Straka is one of the few golfers I've bet on earlier this year. He's having a great season.
Yeah.
Beating the Book podcast, Masters, 89th Masters yesterday with Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin, both from long shots. You talked about Sepp Straka because I brought him up. I'm like, how is he 75-1? You're like, he is a player I would still bet at this price. I did bet him at 70.5-1.
I like it. I like
Sepp Straka, baby. What you got?
I did. Yeah, I'll go to my NBA first. I'm on the Timberwolves tonight. This is, sorry, then I get my fine or whatever because these numbers have moved. But I did put it in VSiN.com last night, so that's
$40.
Yep. Timberwolves laying 3.5 against the Bucks. I think that's out to like 5.5 now. Warriors, I'm on as well. I know Drew's on there. That number is going up this morning, though. It is out to 9.5.
$80.
On the road against the Suns. And then I'm with you, Gil. I'm riding the over. Baseball bet. First one of the year for me. Padres is over 8. There is an 8 at MGM at minus 115.
Oh, you did that one book thing? That's what you're doing? Remember, 3-book minimum. That's the Dr. Bob rule.
What do you mean, 3-book minimum?
Well, we could only release when 3 books had a certain price. But you found one at MGM, you want to say over 8, fine.
MGM's available to
$120, fine. The
MGM is available to most of our audience, more of our audience than most books.
Insubordinates, $160, fine.
All right, Masters bets updated. I did it, Gil. Rory McIlroy. He will win the Masters.
Look at you.
And complete the career Grand Slam.
It's not in his head.
I mean, I think it is a little bit, but he is playing better heading into this year's Masters than he ever has before. Still the wrong Kelly's plays. I should send a note about that. Rory McIlroy.
EY. EY. That's how you spell
Rory McIlroy did add that. Shane Lowry, 45-1. I'm on as well in the outright markets. Other outrights I bet earlier in the season. Akshay Batia, 90-1. Sepp Straka, 100-1. As Gil said, I would still bet Straka at current price. And then I did actually add a couple top 20s. I have top 10s on Colin Morikawa and Shane Lowry in the account. Then I bet top 20s today, this morning, actually, right before the show. Robert McIntyre, plus 138. Corey Connors, plus 160. Sepp Straka, plus 160, all in the top 20 markets. And then in the top German market, there's one for you, Gil. Steven Yeager, minus 325 over Bernhard Langer. Just hoping the old man can't make the cut.
It's brutal.
It's brutal.
It's brutal. Poor Bernhard Langer. Okay, do we have Joe Pita in here? Is he next? No, Will Hill first. He's on Tarek Skubal under 4.5 hits allowed for the Tigers today. And then he is on the Phillies Braves first five under 3.5. Two baseball plays from Wilson Hilson. We always appreciate his appearance, and a great point again about that final sequence. Mark Borchardt, base winner with his baseball plays. He's got the Cardinals straight, plus 118 versus the Buccos today. And it's not a Mark Borchardt segment without a parlay. He's got a Red Sox Brew Crew parlay at plus 140. Love Borchardt with his parlays. Drew Dinsick, Warriors laying the points against the Suns. Magic laying the points against the Hawks. That's in there as well. And then there's Joe Pita. Joe Pita, we only have three plays? I thought we had four.
There's four.
Okay.
I was racing. Sorry. I didn't punch him in.
All right. He's on the Blue Jays plus 170 today. Toronto Blue Jays taking on the, why can't I find the Blue Jays? Get the Red Sox. So he's on the Blue Jays. So he's a little oppo Borchard on that, but he's on the Blue Jays. He loves the price at plus 170. He is on the Braves. He's on the Atlanta Braves minus 111 against the Phillies. I believe that's oppo as well. Was that oppo? Was Borchard on the Phillies in a parlay? Did I miss that? Maybe I got that wrong. But anyway,
no.
Joe is on the Blue Jays plus 170. He's on the Braves minus 111. After hitting on the Orioles yesterday, he's on the Orioles again today against the Diamondbacks at minus 102. A little black and orange there. And then he goes black and orange National League with the Giants. The Giants. Magic. Hashtag magic. He's on the San Francisco Giants minus 128, hosting the Cincinnati Reds. Giants losing yesterday. Tried to rally in the ninth, couldn't get there. Good performance by Hunter Green. GBank, the official bank of VSiN, always responsible for all of the bets on each and every show, courtesy of GBank. Once again, with GBank, always a promotion in tow. They're upping the ante with a $750 bonus, or up to a $750 bonus, I should say, for new GBank Visa Signature Card customers. First, new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank, subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. We close out with just a few tweets reacting to stuff from earlier. Tagurit, after listening last couple of weeks, hell yes, I bet parlays. Do I have a great betting acumen? No, but Joe Pita and Gil do. The premise of over 8.5 runs in Sacramento is so solid that not pairing it with Baltimore seemed like loss of value. A 3-1 win for him yesterday with those two plays. Joe's Baltimore play and my over in Sacramento. Eric Berg, that 7'9" kid from Florida was a walk-on. Also was not even on the IMG national team. Definitely not worth making a bet on that information, he says. There you go. There's an opinion on Olivier. Bobby Geddes, I've been following Drew for a decade. I don't know why I'm still shocked by his Olympics knowledge. And wait, Ken Pom and curling? What a world.
Okay, I'm hitting the pause button right there because Drew just texted me.
Yeah.
How many times do you think you've been to Ken Pom's site to look up college basketball stuff?
Oh, I can't even count.
Like hundreds of thousands, a million, whatever. There is a little curling logo he has in the top left corner. And if you go and click on it, it takes you to Ken Pomeroy's
World Curling Men's Top 100.
This is amazing.
Amazing.
I'm going to start handicapping curling. Watch out, Dinzik.
And then Doug Wedge said, Suicidal Cyclids would be a great band name. Because you spell cyclids good, yeah, with childs at the end of it. And on with the tweets, we appreciate it. Yeah, Drew Dinzik pointing out on Twitter, the curling logo and where you can click on to get curling stuff. And then Matthew Mayberry said, I used the A's new stadium in another creative way. I parlayed Tatis to hit a homer with Scotty to win the Masters, and also Soderstrom homer with Scotty. Now I got some monster Scotty tickets. Good for you that worked out for you. Kelly, did you have the long shot schedule for everybody who was wondering?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm still so distracted by the curling.
Sorry to interrupt.
This is incredible.
Just wanted you to promote your podcast.
I didn't realize that Ken Pomeroy had all this other stuff on his site because we keep going there for college basketball ratings and info. Yeah, so okay, here it is. 11:15 Pacific time today, 2:15 Eastern. We'll be live on the VSiN YouTube page. We will be recording the 1 hour long shot special. So you get the little VSiN Plus account we always joke about, Gil. You kind of get today if you head over to YouTube, although we have to kind of rein it in, you know.
Yeah. No cursing.
Be a little appropriate on the YouTube
page. As opposed to the Beating the Book Masters pod, which has cursing,
is
out there right now.
That is correct. Yeah. That is correct. So we'll be there at 2:15 Eastern, and then we will be replaying overnights. Why it scolded me. I think I messed this up earlier, but it will be after Joe. We're not preempting Joe. Joe Sorrell will still be live, but then after him, we will be replaying the next couple nights.
Bro, you tried to take Joe off air earlier.
Did I say that earlier?
Yeah, I think you did.
That's what I said, too. I didn't mean that. Sorry, Joe. I meant Joe's show replays, and we are going to be replacing one of the replays.
All right. You want to give a little Masters tease, like one little nugget for folks to tune in later? One little thought from Kelly Bidlin, the mind of Kelly Bidlin.
Well, I have not seen Wes Reynolds plays yet, but if you are looking for some long shots guys to be in lockstep on some plays, I think you're getting that from two of the three of us. I can tell you that.
You
much.
And Matt were definitely simpatico.
Yeah, I mean, that was yesterday was the first time I had talked with him about this tournament. I was in shock that we were matched on as many guys as we were.
Cannot wait for Augusta, less than 48 hours away. Do we know if Crack is going to be there or not? We got to check on that.
Yes, we do.
We should probably, I should probably text Crack and see if he's going to be on Augusta with his
I was trying to get him scooter. To tell us on air last week of just like, you know, what should we expect?
He does it. He sort of like makes it up as he goes along.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. We've done all we can do. Stormy and Matt Brown, VEASAN Bracket Challenge Champion, next on a special edition of Money Moves. Enjoy.